Hi, I'm Scott Hanselman. This is Azure Friday. We're here with Sarah Fender. Now, we did some videos on Security Center. There's more than one video than just the one that you're watching. We did one on an overview of Security Center, but we're going to deep dive a little bit and specifically talk about preventing issues before they happen.
Yep, exactly. So, let's jump right in and we'll drill down into the prevention capabilities inside of Azure Security Center.
Okay,
so I have already clicked in on the Security Center tile, which I pinned to my start board, which you should do as well. It's available for everyone today. And so what we're looking at is this central security management experience that Security Center offers. And we're going to focus for this session on the top half of the dashboard here on the prevention capabilities.
And one of the things that I just wanted to point out, though, is that we in Azure make these beautiful dashboards that oversimplify. And I think that we sometimes, who are users of Azure, might dismiss this. Oh, that's a very simple, basic dashboard here.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of smarts behind this, isn't there?
There is.
There's machine learning. There's best practices encapsulated from all different properties all over Microsoft. It just happens to look simple.
Yes. I mean, that's the goal, right, is to give you information to kind of take this complex security stuff and make it easy for everyone to understand.
So. Yeah, absolutely. And I
appreciate
that.
Hopefully it looks simple.
Yeah. So let's see what's underneath.
Okay. So first we're going to drill down and take a look at the security policy. So one of the challenges that a lot of organizations have as they move to the cloud is that management of these cloud resources is increasingly distributed across the organization.
Right.
And so central IT, though, is still kind of on the hook to make sure that the right security processes and prevention mechanisms are in place.
Right.
And so security policies help them do that. So central IT can kind of come in and define a set of recommended policies based on the security needs of a particular application.
Mm-hmm.
So they can do that by setting a security policy today at the subscription level and soon for a particular resource group within that subscription.
That was my next question, because sometimes things are naturally organized by subscription, but you might have other subgroups within a subscription that might have very different needs. So you're going to, in the future, allow that as well?
Yep. Actually, very, very, very soon that'll be available. So you can have all of the resources inside of the subscription inherit the subscription policy, but you can also customize a policy for a set of resources inside a resource group, which usually equates to like an application or workload.
That's cool.
So some good examples of that are if you've got resources that are primarily for dev test, those might have different security requirements. You might have some applications that have sensitive or regulated data. You might require some extra protections for them. So you can customize the policy based on the needs of the application.
Okay.
So within the policy, the first thing we want to do is enable data collection. So as I was sharing with you in the last video, there's a lot of information that we can detect and understand about the security state of your resources because we're Azure, right? Mm-hmm. We know how your virtual networks are configured and stuff about your SQL databases, but there's some additional information that we can get from inside of your virtual machines. And we do that by having you turn on data collection, which installs a monitoring agent on all existing and any new virtual machines that you might spin up. And that enables us to regularly check the configuration of that virtual machine and also to automatically collect security event logs that are generated on those VMs. So we can use that to help detect threats.
And these are a Windows service or a Linux daemon that is running in the background and looking at things like the event log and the security log.
Absolutely.
And like that. Now, when they leave, though, how do I make sure that that's not having like PII or person identifiable information? How do I make sure, like you talked about regulations and things, is there a way to make sure that I'm not accidentally having something leak out as an agent puts it into storage?
So it's going into the storage account that you configure.
Okay, so I'm in control.
You have control, and you can choose to put that to align the storage account to the region in which the resource lives.
So it never leaves then.
Right. So a lot of customers want to keep that data in the same region as the resource it was collected from. So you can do that.
I like that, because this is another reminder that I'm in control. We're not talking about shipping logs across the world for analysis and things like that. I control. I own the account. Microsoft is not looking at these things and analyzing them. It's my space.
Now the service is analyzing them, but
in my resource area, in my data center.
Yep.
Okay.
And so then, again, you can tune the recommendations that are surfaced based on the security needs of the applications or the resources that policy applies to. Okay, so setting the security policy, very important. Then we can get sort of this high level understanding of what the security state of our various resources is. And that resource security health view is a great place to go for that. So you can see I've got lots and lots of red in my subscription. That's on purpose. Hopefully you'll see quite a bit more green in yours. But let's click in and take a look at what's really going on here. So if I drill down into my virtual machine view, at the top there, I can see information about the onboarding status of my virtual machines. And what that means is what the data collection status is. So I may have turned on data collection for only some of my VMs and not all of them. So those without data collection enabled, I would see here. If there were any issues with the data pipeline flowing, I'd see those there. So so that's what would show up in that onboarding.
Agents that aren't installed, anything that's preventing it from doing its job.
Yeah, we want you to have visibility. I mean, if you're not getting data, that can sort of mask stuff. So if we had any issues, it would show up there. I don't. But I am seeing some recommendations here about vulnerabilities that have been identified, like the fact that I don't have anti-malware installed on some of my virtual machines.
And these are all preventative things. These are all, they're not telling you that something has happened. They're telling you that this is what you do to protect yourself.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
And so here I can see the virtual machines that don't have anti-malware enabled, and I can select all or some of these virtual machines to deploy anti-malware to.
And this is what they call Microsoft Endpoint Protection. I know because I have it installed in my corporate laptop.
Yes.
Is this something that costs money?
So what we've got here is a set of options. So there'll be a mix of both first and third party solutions that a customer can deploy.
Oh, okay.
So in this case, you could choose Microsoft Anti-Malware, which is free, or you could choose from a list of integrated partner solutions. Today we have Trend Micro's Deep Security Agent available, but we're in the process of onboarding other partner solutions as
well. So in the future, I'll look for whatever one that my corporate security recommends, and then that'll be integrated in my Azure subscription.
Absolutely. And so within a couple of clicks, we can deploy these solutions from partners on all of those virtual machines that we selected. And what's really interesting is not only do we then have protection in a couple of clicks, we've got anti-malware running on all of these virtual machines, which is great. But what we're not seeing behind the scenes that's equally important is that alerts generated by Trend Micro are also going to show up in our Security Center alerts view. So we get one aggregated view of security alerts across Microsoft and partner solutions.
So then looking at this company here, this is not a Microsoft company, so Trend Micro has taken their well-known and very respected deep security product, they've integrated it with the Azure APIs. It has the same introspection abilities, and it then sources and presents all of that data back to our system for analysis. So it's as if it's integrated into the whole, it really is integrated into the whole system, isn't it?
Yes.
And then, of course, it looks like they'll give you even a free trial.
So,
okay, that's pretty cool.
So this is a good example of the approach that we're taking to enable customers to bring their trusted partner solutions with them to the cloud.
Yeah.
So these solutions, all of them are available in the marketplace as well, but we're adding sort of this extra layer of integration. Again, the idea is to close those gaps that often exist between disconnected security solutions by integrating the provisioning as well as the logging.
Well, this is an obvious place to put it. I'm here, I'm ready, I'm one click away from install malware. I don't want to go over to a gallery to go and hunt for Trend Micro or another partner. They should be right there.
Well, and first you have to know that you need anti-malware on that machine.
Good point.
So we're recommending and streamlining the provisioning and logging.
So then you hit OK, and it will then parallelly install all of that across all of those systems.
And it'll hook up the logging.
Okay, cool.
So let's take a look at some other examples. So here we're looking at some virtual machines whose OS configurations don't match the Azure recommended baselines.
Okay.
So we can drill down to find out some more information about those. So here's a good example of one. There are, I think, 150-ish checks that we're making here for various vulnerabilities. So we can drill in. In this case, we're seeing that the maximum machine account password age is 90 days when it's recommended that be 30.
I see.
So this is just one example. Again, there's 150 different checks that we're making.
These are well understood best practices. These are the same kind of best practices that you may have in your on-premise
environment. Yes, absolutely. Okay, so we're, again, checking for configuration, misconfigurations, or if you've had any drift. Here we're checking for virtual machines that are missing system updates. In particular, we're looking for security or critical updates.
I see. So this isn't just a blanket, hey, you should run Windows Update.
Yeah.
This is like there are known security
updates. There are vulnerabilities here that need to be addressed. Mm-hmm. And so that's an interesting point that you call out. So Security Center is not really, its intent isn't to replace or to become your IT management system. It's really got a very laser focus on security configurations, things right. that could create risk and vulnerability for your organization.
Using the example of running Windows Update, this isn't System Center.
Right.
It's Security Center.
Exactly. Okay, and then we're also, closed too many blades. Okay, here we're seeing a recommendation to deploy Azure Disk Encryption, mm-hmm. Which is a relatively new feature, so it's checking to see if that's been deployed or if you have that running and recommending it if you don't. And today, the configuration of that is a bit manual, but as soon as Azure Disk Encryption has an experience in the portal, we'll connect to that.
And the nice thing about this, as I understand it, is it works with both Windows and BitLocker, and then also DMCrypt in Linux, and will be integrated with Key Vault.
Yes.
And we've got a video on Key Vault as well.
Cool. And so down below, we also get to see an inventory of all of the virtual machines in our environment. Mm-hmm. And so this includes, again, these at the top are part of my Service Fabric cluster. We've got a mix of Classic and Linux VM, or Classic and Resource Manager, as well as Windows and Linux VMs. Mm-hmm. So we can see at a glance the security state of these.
And it's kind of nice that they all are treated as equals, right? This is one of the things I always say when I'm showing Azure, is I'm like, you can't tell that a virtual machine's running Windows or Linux. It's not going out of its way. You know, if it's got no anti-malware or it's missing a system update, it doesn't matter what operating system it's running. It's not secure in the cloud.
Absolutely. So there are a couple of areas where we're not at full parity across Windows and Linux yet, but we'll get there soon. And you can see some examples of those. So for example, we're not yet checking for system updates on Linux VMs.
Okay.
But again, that we're on a quick path to address that. So the idea is parity across all of those resources.
Very cool.
It's all about the weakest link, so we want to make sure you're covered, regardless of what service or what OS you're running. So then we can click in for more information about a particular VM, including a list of any recommendations.
And then which of these are actionable? I mean, like you said that some of them are manual, like mm-hmm. applying disk encryption, or slightly manual. Mm-hmm. But are a lot of these just like, hey, fix it as best you can?
A number of them are. So the one way to think about the difference between those, disk encryption is a bit of an exception because it will have a portal experience soon, mm-hmm. and when it does, we'll make it easy to complete that configuration right from Security Center. But there are functions that happen on the virtual machine themselves, like OS configurations and patching. And so we're not providing a ready way to address those recommendations. Most customers have a way to manage those servers already.
Good point.
But think about things like a good example is networking here. So here we're looking to see if NSGs are configured. And for example, here we've got a subnet that doesn't have a network security group. And we can click through to either create a new one or apply an existing one right from this experience.
That's actually really nice. Sometimes this blade metaphor falls apart, but what you've done there is you've dropped them right into the context. They don't have to go digging off and find that resource. You've brought them to that new blade right there.
Absolutely. Another good example of that is in SQL database. So we're looking for encryption and auditing mm-hmm. on your SQL servers and SQL databases, and very similar to network security groups, if there's an issue, we can click right in to configure the recommended control.
Oh, wow. So then this
is... So we can turn on auditing right from here.
Yeah, this is Security Center, and there is a blade back over from the database world.
Absolutely. One other, talking about being able to quickly address those recommendations or address any issues that might be defined or might have been identified, is this recommendations view. So I think about like the security health, this provides this kind of all up view of security. But if I'm a resource owner, I'm a guy who owns an app, when I sign in, this is what I want to see. Like, what do I need to do to get my environment secure and compliant with the security policy? And so I can click in to configure these various controls, just like we saw from the security health view. Mm-hmm. But they're just aggregated and prioritized here in my list, so I know what action I need to take and what to do first.
And is it the case that because these are all tiles within the Azure portal, which is now the general availability portal, I can pin these, right?
Not
just security, but I could pin that and pin that and have that up, you know, have security front and center to my start board.
Absolutely. One other thing I was going to show is just another way to kind of visualize that data is through a Power BI dashboard. So just one quick glance over there. So we recently released a Power BI dashboard for Security Center, which gives you yet another sort of dashboarding mechanism, another way to visualize data.
And over time, a little bit more sophisticated.
And a bit over time. So we can see stuff. This, I think, is great. Here are the recommendations by age. So if someone's got a system updates that are missing for a month, let's say, that's maybe something you need to drill down into. The other thing it does is a super cool map down here at the bottom that shows us information about attack IPs by geo.
By category as well.
Yeah.
That is really cool.
So.
All right. I'm learning all sorts of stuff today. We are exploring how to prevent security issues before they happen here on Azure Friday.